Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast. Well, the last several days, I've been ministering on the subject of the anointing, and we were looking at some examples in scriptures that describe the anointing, and we looked as a very classic example, Elijah and Elisha referencing the mantle as representing the anointing of God. If you remember, Elijah was trying to discourage or dissuade Elisha to separate from him because he knew that the Lord was going to take him. And he said, no, I'm not going to leave you. And he said, well, what is that you would ask of me? And he wanted a double portion of the very anointing that Elijah had. And he said, well, if you see me when I'm taken, it shall be so to you. And when he saw Elijah being taken up to heaven, he never died. He was taken up in a fiery chariot to the presence of the Lord, and his mantle was cast down, and Elisha picked it up. And actually, as is recorded, he did twice or double the miracles that his mentor Elijah did. They were both very powerful men of God. So we see the mantle was used as a reference to God's anointing. And then a second example that I was bringing up as I brought yesterday's broadcast to a close was the olive branch or the olive tree or olive oil. But more specifically, there are various meanings of that the olive tree represents, or the olive branch. It represents peace. We see in Genesis, the 8th chapter, verse 11, if you remember, when the waters covered the earth, Noah sent out a dove. He sent out a raven, then he sent a dove, it came back. But the last time it came out, it came back to the ark, it had an olive branch in its beak. And then, of course, there's reference to the righteous. In Psalm 52 and 8, the word says, but I am like a spreading olive tree in God's house, for I trust in God's true love forever and ever. Praise God. That reminds me of, you know, those that are advanced in age, they still shall be fat and flourishing in the house of the Lord. Praise God. And also, it refers to natural Israel. There are references in the Word of God that the Lord refers to Israel as the olive tree, if you will. There's a reference in Jeremiah, the 11th chapter, verse 16, where the Lord called thee by thy name, a green olive tree, fair and of goodly fruit. With the noise of a great tumult, he hath kindled fire upon it, and the branches of it are broken. And then there's another reference in the book of Hosea, verses 5 and 6, where the word tells us, I will be as the dew unto Israel, he shall grow as the lily, and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. Praise God. And then, of course, in the New Testament, there's a reference to the olive tree referencing the church, and that's found in the 11th chapter of Romans, verses 16 through 24. And I'll just share that with you. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, now he's speaking to the Gentiles, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root beareth thee. Thou wilt say them, the branches are broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. He's talking to us, beloved. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God, this is the warning, spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee, if we turn away from the Lord as they did. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God, on them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness. Otherwise, thou also shall be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Praise God. And so, beloved, it is symbolic of Israel, of the church, and also there are references to God's two anointed witnesses. There's one in Zechariah, the fourth chapter, verses 11 through 14. I won't take the time to read that, but there's also a reference in Revelation, the 11th chapter, verses 3 and 4. I can read those, and I will give power unto my two witnesses. That time is approaching, isn't it? And they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. That is, of course, the first half of the tribulation. And he goes on to say, these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. There's one of the visions of Zechariah spoke of that also. And so here we see various references to, in the Word of God, about the olive branch, the olive tree, olive oil. Each one of these subjects demonstrates something that has had or presently possesses the anointing or blessing of God upon it. Those who are righteous through the blood of the Lamb and thus are a part of the church have received an anointing from the Lord. A unique anointing, if you please. In fact, you know, I'm thinking right now of that beautiful Psalm 133. Let's see if I can turn to it very quickly. How it begins by saying, how beautiful and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is as the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. Remember when he was anointed for the priesthood as high priest, that anointing oil just dripped over him, going down to the very bottom of his garment. And that final verse says, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing or the anointing, even life forevermore. You see, beloved, we will experience the power of God. We will experience the anointing of God when the body of Christ comes into the unity that only the Spirit of God can bring. We can pray for it. We can avoid schisms and divisions. We can avoid bad-mouthing our brothers and sisters. Let God be the judge. Paul is so clear. Who art thou that judges another man's servant? You know, if we see something, discern something that's not right, perhaps in leadership, our obligation is to pray and then let God do the work. God said he would let the tares grow up with the wheat. Isn't that right? And at the very end of days, the angels will separate out those. There are wolves in sheep clothing. And we are to walk in discernment. However, it is God's business to do the judging. And trust me, he will do that very efficiently and very effectively. But God wants us in unity. Why? Because the anointing of God is going to fall and come upon those who will walk in unity. In our local churches, how many have been torn apart with sin and division and schisms and the party spirit? You know, this group is for this, you know, surrounding this leader and another one around that leader. My goodness, how we have grieved the heart of God. God wants us to come together in unity. You know, I just feel the anointing of God, and I'm just going to stop in the teaching and ask God to minister. Father, we pray for the unity of the body of Christ. We pray for that anointing which will break every yoke. Father, you will break down denominational barriers. They're not going to exist in heaven. We're not going to be known as Catholics or Presbyterians or Lutherans, there will not be a title. We will be all part of the family of God. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord, those who are agreeing with me, that you will bring the body of Christ into unity. That was your great high priestly prayer you prayed in John, the 17th chapter, that they may be one, Father, even as we are one. Father, I thank you that for that anointing. And now, Lord, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for a refreshing, for that anointing, for a new anointing upon the lives of your beloved, those who are listening right now, those who are crying out to you. They need the power of God. They need the anointing of God. They need to experience your presence. And Father, right now, you said if we ask anything according to your will, we know you hear us. Father, we're praying according for your will. We need the anointing. It's not just the word of God, Father, the Spirit. It has to quicken it. The Spirit has to anoint it. And so far, I'm praying right now for that refreshing in the name of Jesus. For the Spirit of the Lord would say, my beloved, even at this moment, receive the very impartation of the anointing of God, which shall go from the top of your head to the very soles of your feet. You shall be quickened in your body. You shall be quickened in your mind. You shall be quickened in your spirit. And you shall be able to do those things that have been a source of disappointment and discouragement in days past. For I fill you with a holy boldness. I fill you with a new courage. I fill you with the very faith of God that I have placed within you. I am working to perfect and accomplish my works in your life, and you shall not be afraid, for you shall know that the Lord goes before you. You shall not fear the work of the enemy, for I have given you spiritual weapons, and I have placed my angels surrounding you. So go forth, beloved, and be not afraid, but know that I shall establish the work of your hands, and you shall see the Lord go before you, and you shall see victories and success as you have never seen before, says the Lord. Praise God, praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, and let it bear fruit and increase for the glory of your kingdom, for the glory of your name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, beloved, I will continue tomorrow with the teaching, but thank God for his anointing. Amen. We can't do anything without it. Praise God. Well, my time is gone. I do invite you to write. You may have specific needs. Beloved, sometimes it's just important. And when I have sometimes needs, I pray about it, my personal needs. But I sometimes just say, will you pray with me? Will you agree with me? And God does the work. Praise God. So I invite you to write. The announcer will share our contact information. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.